Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on February 11th of 2009 under the headline, Oregon Marked Its First 100 Years with a $2.6 Million Party. Here we go. This coming Saturday, February 14th, 2009, the state of Oregon will celebrate its sesquicentennial. It will have been precisely 150 years since Oregon officially became a state in a hasty effort to settle the question of whether slaves would be allowed here on the eve of the Civil War. But surprisingly little is being planned to commemorate it. In fact, many people around the state don't even know it's happening this week on Valentine's Day. 50 years ago, though, on the eve of the state's centennial, it was not like that. Not at all. The upcoming centennial was impossible to ignore. Folks had been gearing up for it for years. On the big day, President Dwight Eisenhower made a proclamation. Vice President Richard Nixon appeared with Oregon Governor Mark Hatfield at the state capitol, which was dusted with a surprise late-season snow, and had a 19-gun salute fired in his honor with 105-millimeter howitzers. The ceremonies were opened by the Oregon Symphony. Members of the National Guard stood at attention. It was a big deal. But that's not why almost everyone in the state knew what February 14, 1959 meant. At a grand centennial ball in Salem, the movers and shakers of the state gathered for a Tony party replete with a cake shaped like the state capitol building, with pictures of a bridge, power lines, and log truck in the frosting. They danced and looked fabulous. But that wasn't why most Oregonians knew it wasn't just another Valentine's Day either. Youngsters at North Salem High School put on a pageant that would be unthinkable for a public school today, called Christianity Comes to the Oregon Territory, and featuring students playing the roles of John McLaughlin, a frontier preacher, and various settlers and, quote, flathead Indians. It was played 5 times, but that's not why either. The real reason why the centennial was such a big deal was the money. The 1955 legislature got started on the plans early and allocated $2.6 million for the party. You can throw one humdinger of a party with $2.5 million 1959 dollars and 3.5 years in which to spend it. And boy, Oregon did. A centennial commission sprang up, with members appointed by the governor. Local centennial committees formed at the town and county level, and about 38 of them statewide. People got very excited about it. Part of that excitement was centennial tokens. A centennial token was about the size of a half dollar, usually bronze, but occasionally silver. You can still find them in junk stores and coin shops. Expect to pay $5 to $10 for one in decent condition. Most were made by Northwest Specialty Sales Company. A few are commemorative with no face value, but most of them were sponsored by a local area's centennial committee and were worth 50 cents, but only if you spent or redeemed them before 3 p.m. on February 18, 1959. This year's sesquicentennial activities will surely feel a bit light to anyone who saw the statewide party of 1959. Well, the state is quite a bit different now. Oregon was a relatively rich state in 1959. Stumpage fees for timber harvests were pouring into the state. So were income taxes from the loggers and mill workers processing them. An extra few million dollars was easier to come by back then, 1959. Anyway, 100 years is a more momentous number than 150, so we'll probably have to wait another 50 years to see another state birthday party like that one, if we ever do. Key sources in this story included works by Harold Hibbler and the Coin and Currency Institute. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Drop me a line at fj@offbeatoregon.com or ping me on Twitter at @offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Also, do let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead and an inclination to talk about Oregon history. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way around 6 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. So if you're looking forward to the next one, well, you haven't got long to wait. Until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.